On the times I've been with you, the last twice I've been with you, I've brought to you a series called Travelling in Faith. And the first month I was with you, we talked about Peter, who found himself in prison, and was in prison for a long time, and subsequently he was executed. But he never let his circumstances crush his faith. In fact, he continued to practice his faith and touch many people even whilst he was in prison. And clearly there's a message for us as well to overcome our circumstances in not let that dismiss our faith. And the second time I was with you in the series Travelling in Faith was... the whole business of traveling with Christ is to make us, is for us, for Him to make us more Christ-like. And, you know, that's a lifetime. That's a lifetime's work. But that's the purpose. If you come to Christ, it's all about change. And it's about making ourselves more like Christ. And this morning, I want to talk about how God will guide us. God will guide us as we travel in faith. He will particularly guide us as we try to serve Him as we travel in faith. And again, we've heard something of Paul at Philippians 4. At this stage in Paul's life, he's about to set off on his second missionary journey. It's about AD 50, somewhere around about there. And initially his plan was to revisit several places from his first journey. But then, open to new things that God is planning for him, he decides to move on and to explore new horizons. And the example here for us is that God wants us to be a people with such perspectives. He never wants us to be content with just repeating what we've done before, to repeating the same old things or having the same goals. He wants us to constantly reset the goals. He almost wants to give a wider, a bigger vision. He's always pushing the boundaries. He doesn't want us to be complacent. He also wants us to be open to drawing unexpected people alongside us to share in ministry. See, when we're open to Him, the results can indeed be staggering. There's never just dullness. There's never boredom when we travel with Christ. The results can be staggering. And what an encouragement the church at Philippi proved to be to Paul. First, Paul and his companions had to travel to where God was leading them. They had to believe that God had planned the route. God had knew what was ahead of them. They had to believe that God would support them and direct them. And in doing so, they became the answer to prayer of people far away. You see, God listens and will answer us in the way that is best for us and for the people He wants to be His friends. God will listen to us. Hallelujah. God will listen to us. Paul concludes his letter in the same positive frame of mind as he started it. He finishes his letter by talking about the blessings that he's received. He rejoices in God's blessings, and he mentions four examples in particular. verses 11 to 12, he says that God has given him contentment. Contentment. You know, in a troubled world, in a world where it's constantly changing, where our news media and everything else is constantly presenting us with issues and pictures and situations which cause us concern, which gets the heart beating and wondering what it's all about and are we going to survive and all of that. In the midst of it all, God has promised to give us contentment, just as Paul says. What did he mean by contentment? Well, Benjamin Franklin, founding father of the United States, he said, contentment makes poor men rich. Contentment makes poor men rich. And discontentment makes the rich poor. I love people who can write things like that. And a very brief statement can say so much. Paul has learned the secret of being content in every situation which he encountered. Whether the situation was good or bad, he was content. I don't know all of your personalities, but let you tell me that by nature, I am a worrier. I see danger at every juncture. I worry. That's just the way I am, probably the way I've brought up with my experiences. But I'm a worrier. But God has challenged me time and time again, and now I'm beginning to believe it, and now it's become part of my personality to be content. Now that's not the same as saying I ignore dangers or I'm blasé about it. But there's a state of mind where we can rise above and just be content. Even when we don't know the future, just to be content and rest in Him. It is such a blessing. See, the content that Paul has acquired allows him to concentrate on the really important things of life and discover God's will for his situation. This wonderful gift has seen Paul through many difficult situations, and it would carry him through his current ordeal. It was something, however, that God has had to teach him. It didn't come automatically. It's part of that growing as we travel to reach a place where we can find contentment, even in the midst of the storm. And for Paul, that gift was growing through hard times. And Paul was able to say it really is a priceless gift, contentment. I want to read you a story. And I think it encapsulates the beauty of contentment. It's by a gentleman called Philip Parnham. It tells a story of a rich industrialist who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. And he says, why aren't you out there fishing, he asked. He replied, well, I've caught enough fish for today. Then why don't you catch more fish than you need, the rich man asked. Well, what would I do with them, he said. You could earn more money. And when you'd earn more money, you could buy a better boat. So you could go deeper and catch more fish. You could purchase new nylon nets, catch even more fish and make even more money. And then soon you could have a fleet of boats and be rich like me. The Mishiman asked, then what would I do? Then you could sit down and enjoy life, said the individual. What do you think I'm doing now? He said, as he sat in his chair and contently looked out to sea. Can you see the measure of contentment there in that story? A contentment which rises above circumstances, gives us a new perspective, a more genuine perspective of our lives. Contentment. One of the other things that Paul mentions in our portion of scripture this morning, he says how blessed he is by being strengthened. God had strengthened him and would continue in the future. He says, I can do everything through him. I can do everything through him. Verse 13. You see, Christ has promised power to those who believe in him. Christ has provided power to those who believe in him. It's not just a meandering weekly through life. It's a power that we have. God says that through his grace, all things are possible. Hallelujah. He hadn't built up his own strength through stoicism or strict discipline. His power came from his boundless confidence in the ability of Christ to match every situation. To match every situation. And in our lives we will meet many situations, many difficult situations. But Christ has promised to match every situation. He understood that God's power was made perfect in his own weakness. It was when he realized his own weakness, his own powerlessness, that he realized Christ's strength. You know, all too often we do it the other way around, don't we? We explore every human activity, every human option before we come to him. And Christ says, please turn that on its head. Come to me first. Come to me, receive my power, receive my grace, receive my blessing. I don't want you to struggle unnecessarily. I have a solution. Come to me. My power is made perfect when you recognize your own weakness. See, Paul could say with a triumphant assertion, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know so much of the God's promises and so much of what we do as Christians, it sounds like a fairy tale. Now, we either treat it as a fairy tale or we treat it as truth. And we live in that truth. There's no middle ground. See, when Paul says he can do everything through Christ who strengthens me, that same assertion should be ours as well. Can be true for every Christian today. When you were listening to Graham speaking, I wonder if you noticed that Paul thanks God for blessing him materially. He's not blessing him because he's received a first century equivalent of a Porsche or anything like that. He's thanking him for his daily food. He's thanking him for his daily blessings. Through the generosity of the Philippians, God has seen Paul being blessed materially. Have a look at 17 to 18 when you have a chance. He's not looking for gifts. He's just interested in the material side of things. What he was looking for was fruit that may be credited to your account. He was looking towards those, that church, the people in the church he had founded. He was looking forward to their maturity, their growth, and their producing spiritual fruit. And in that way, Paul was materially blessed. And he says that such generous and unstinting service would not go unrewarded or unrecognized. Our work will not go unrewarded. Work that we do for him. See, that was Paul's ambition for his benefactors. And he's saying to us that all sincere Christian service, which entails sacrificial and self-denial, not only promotes the cause of Christ and strengthens the hand of God's servants, but is an act of worship in which God takes pleasure. So much there. He takes pleasure in our sacrifice. Takes pleasure in our self-denial, because the cause of Christ is benefited from that. And finally, in our portion of Scripture, Paul says that he is blessed with fellowship and support. God has provided him with fellowship and support both in his visitors to him in prison and the Philippians themselves. You see, he recognizes how dear the brothers and sisters are who share with him in the fellowship of Christ. And we need to capture that same feeling of fellowship. You know, sometimes we come into our churches and we come in and we receive a blessing and we go out. Depending on the church and its size, we may or may not speak to somebody. But God wants our churches to be more than that. He wants our churches to be places where real love is seen and shared. Speak to someone. Bless somebody. Offer to pray with someone. You see, because brothers and sisters in Christ, they're really important. Important not just to each other, but important to Christ as well. You know, one day, we're going to spend eternity with our brothers and sisters, so get to know them down here. You know, sometimes I hear people say, oh, I don't, all the singing and all the hymns and all that, oh dear, you know, we do it. Well, get used to it, because you're going to spend eternity doing that. You're going to spend eternity singing. You're going to spend eternity with brothers and sisters. Get to know them now. Hallelujah. I love the way Paul talks about his brothers and sisters in the gospel. He says, my heart leaps at the mention of your name. My heart leaps at the mention of your name. And he says, I pray for you constantly. See, we are the family in Christ with her Father and many brothers and sisters. And we too need to find that place where we too can give our regards to every Christian we meet with a joy in our hearts and a lump in our throats as we recognize the kinship that we share. We have something special. Something special. So just let me just briefly recap. And the promises, the continued blessing in the same way Paul mentions. Contentment, Contentment rises above circumstances. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." A peace that comes, that gives contentment. "Do not let your hearts be troubled," he says. Contentment. And you know, like Paul, we may have to learn this truth through times of difficulty, through times of testing. But we need to understand that joy and contentment is often the byproduct of obedience. Safety consists not in the absence of danger, but it consists in the presence of God. Contentment. Strengthen gives us strength. Jesus has promised to us that we will do great things for God if we have faith. Materially, he says that the Father will supply all of our needs in fellowship and support. We have profound fellowship with one another. Even with those Christians we do not even know as yet, we have fellowship with them. And let me leave you with the thought that real contentment comes from knowing that God is in control and that he loves you. God is in control and that he loves you. Let's pray. Lord, as we travel in faith, help us to see that travel is a fruitful travel. It's a fruitful journey. Whatever you have planned for us on that journey is for our good. Lord, help us to overcome any apprehensions we have. And help us to just open our hearts and our minds and our souls to all that you have for us. So that when we meet you face to face, we'll not be embarrassed. We'll not be embarrassed. And that we might indeed hear, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." So bless us, Lord, we pray. For we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen.